Good evening. Really enjoyed the testimonies of the missionaries and to see their passion of their calling and their passion to win souls. What a blessing. And that is what we need today in all of our churches. Thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Philip Gilmore, for the invitation. I've been truly challenged and blessed by being here. I was sharing with Fernando that the Lord has taught me some things in being here, observing, that I'm going to try to apply in our ministry back home. And it's a joy and a blessing to be here. Thank you so much. Thank you for the kindness, for the generosity, for the wonderful hotel room. It's been a great blessing to me. Thank you so much. Please stand on your feet and let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Really enjoyed the dinner last night, and also the beautiful spirit that was here, all of you serving and burdened for the people that were here. What a joy, and I pray that God will continue to use this church as an outreach, because your heart for souls here will also extend to the parts of the world. What a blessing. I enjoyed so much, and pray that those who heard the gospel yesterday, God will continue to work in their hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I will read verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." I'm going to speak on the subject, what should move us as Christians, as churches, to fulfill the Great Commission. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what you've done in my heart, being here and seeing what you're doing in the lives of these missionaries and the calling upon their lives. And see a church with a heart for missions and a college preparing servants. Thank you, Lord, what a blessing it's been to my heart. Now bless this message. I pray that you would take control and the Holy Spirit would fill my life and fill this place and speak to us, Lord, only as you can, and have your way in this service. We thank you so much, my Lord and Savior. In your name we pray this. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I just want to mention that Valerie here, we grew up together, and I haven't seen her over 40 years. And I was able to remember so many things. Valerie, thank you for coming. Her and her husband were missionaries for many years also. What a joy. Thank you for coming out today, Valerie. Lord bless you. In this passage of Scripture, Paul the Apostle was teaching the church of Corinth that it was right and scriptural that they support the ministry. They support preachers. They support pastors. He says there in verse 14, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." It's right that a church take good care of its pastor. And it's right for a church to support missionaries and evangelists preaching the gospel. But Paul then said in verse 15, "But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that I should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glory void." He said, "I didn't write these truths for you to support me, because the church of Corinth had not supported him." But he said, "I didn't write this for my sake, but for you to understand that it's right and biblical for you to, as a church, to support the men of God." But then he says that he was ordained of God to preach the gospel, and he would do it freely and do it gladly. And so Paul then proceeds in this passage of Scripture to share with the church of Corinth what moved him to preach the gospel. And I want to tonight encourage us that what moved Paul to preach the gospel should move all of us as Christians and as a church to fulfill the Great Commission. A very simple message, and I'll not be long tonight. We want you to come back tomorrow night. Amen. So I'm a pastor, and I know my and I know what it is. So I'll try to be as short as can. Just 1 hour. That's about all. No. Just teasing. But there in verse 16, Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." And look at the phrase, "for necessity." Necessity. The same Greek word is used that's used in 2 Corinthians 5:14 when Paul said, "The love of Christ constraineth us." Necessity. And that means like a pressure, like a burden. Paul said he personally preached the gospel because of a necessity, a personal burden. I would say that Paul preached the gospel because it was a personal need. He needed to preach the gospel. It was his burden to preach the gospel. And oh, what a blessing it would be if all of us as Christians felt that way about winning people to Christ, felt that way about the work of God around the world, about the mission field, that it would become a personal burden, that it would become a personal need for you to preach the gospel. Paul is saying, I have no choice personally. I have to preach the gospel. I remember when the Lord finally surrendered to serve him and full time. And I was a university student there in San Francisco, California, and the burden to train. I would go to my classes and I said, God, what am I doing here? Lord, I can't be here anymore. I've got to do your will. I've got to go prepare myself to serve you full time. And it became such a personal burden and a personal need. How we need pastors and we need evangelists and missionaries that have a great burden for the lost. It's so easy to lose that burden. It really is. Even in the ministry, as we caught up with ministry and administration and have to do this and do that, and we lose our burden to see people saved, how we need to take care of our hearts that we not lose that burden to see people saved. For Paul, it was a personal burden, a personal need to preach the gospel. Like I mentioned the other night, 8 years ago, the Lord took our son home to be in heaven. And Sara Rocha is here, Fernando's wife. Her father's worked with us for over 25 years and been such a faithful servant and co-pastor and just such a blessing to us. In the funeral that night, when I walked in to the funeral, there was a lot of relatives of mine that were not saved that were at that funeral. And Brother Rocha preached that night, and he, with all of his heart, he wanted to be a blessing to my wife and my daughters and myself. And I still remember his heart and trying to encourage his pastor and his family. But I had a lot of lost uncles that I had invited to church, and some of them I had given the gospel to, and they were there in the service. And Brother Rocha preached the message to console our family. But I was thinking about my cousins and uncles and aunts that I know that they're not saved. So as the funeral service was ending, I asked Brother Rocha, can I come up to the front? He said, Pastor, you can come right up. And I told our family members, especially them, I said, I know my son Aaron is in heaven. And what's most important is that you know for sure you would go to heaven. And I was able to give the gospel. But I had it was a burden that I needed to take that opportunity to tell my aunts and uncles that aren't saved and cousins that they needed salvation. And I remember there was a pressure in my heart. And that's what Paul is talking about, of necessity. I'm constrained, not constrained, but a feeling of constraint. I have to preach the gospel. Second of all, look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in verse 16, not only he said, for of necessity, for necessity is laid upon me, but yet he made a statement that just incredible. Yea, woe is unto me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Not only was it a necessity, a burden for Paul to preach the gospel, but he saw it more than just a burden. He said, it's woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Paul felt that he was a debtor. Woe is me. I've received, and you read the epistles, and you read the book of Acts, and Paul continually talked about the day he went. He was on the way to Damascus, and that Jesus Christ appeared to him, and the day that he met Christ, and when the Lord revealed himself to him, he realized he is the Christ. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And it changed his life, and it changed his values, and it changed, of course, his eternal destination. And that's why Paul said, woe is me. I've received the gospel freely. I'm saved. And I know that Christ is my Savior. And said, woe is me if I don't share the good news with other people. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 1, there in Romans chapter 1, in verse 14, Paul said, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as his enemy, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul realized that he was a debtor. A debtor to all men, but oh, how much more a debtor to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to understand that also ourselves. You're a debtor to the past generation that gave you the gospel. This church is a debtor to God. All the blessings that you've received, you know, it's America has a lot of problems, but America is still the greatest country in the world. You're so blessed to live here. You really are. Don't take it for granted. You've been so blessed to know Christ. And then to be in a church like this, where pastor has a passion for the gospel. He has a passion for souls, and a church that preaches the word of God faithfully, where your children are being reared in the ways of God, and all that goes on here. And I really appreciated the missionaries, that members of this church expressing their gratitude to this wonderful church. Yes, you are our debtors to your church. Yes, and I'm a debtor to the churches in America. And that's what I've taught our people that in Mexico, we're our debtors to the missionaries that sacrificed to give us the gospel. And as a debtor, I know that I will never repay my debt, never, ever. But I must do all I can to do the will of God and to give the gospel to those freely, since I have freely received the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to be moved to fulfill the Great Commission. Make it a personal burden and understand that we're debtors. Third of all, please look with me in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. What moved Paul to preach the gospel? How to move us to fulfill the Great Commission. Today, take the gospel message to every people in the world. The Bible says there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 17, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Dispensation of the gospel is committed to me, making reference to the commission. The commission. Move Paul to preach the gospel. He understood it was a commandment. The commission has been given to him. He realized that. And my brothers and sisters, the commission has been given to us. Please look with me again to the passage there in Matthew chapter 28, please. I'd like you to turn there with me, please. We have a commandment. Yes, it should be a personal burden. And yes, we ought to understand that we're debtors. And because of that, we're to take the gospel to the whole world. But more than that, it's a commandment. Whether we feel it or not, whether we're burdened or not, whether we feel debtors or not, it is a commandment for us to preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Yes, he is the Lord of heaven. He is the Lord of the universe. He is the Lord of lords, and he's the King of kings. He is the head of our church, the church. He is the Christ, and because of his authority, his command should be our first priority. It's a commandment of Christ. Not to win souls is disobedience. Not to send missionaries is disobedience. Not to give to support the cause of Christ. Not to give offerings for the cause of Christ, for the mission field, for being faithful as in your tithe and offerings, it's disobedience. If we just understood that. We rationalize so many things. We justify so easily our disobedience. We do. People say, "Well, Brother Ramos, I don't have the gift to win souls." It has nothing to do with gift being gifted and gab. It has everything to do with being obedient to Christ. Christ gives us a command. And we need to understand, and I teach this to our church, the reason for the existence of our local church in San Luis Potosí, Mexico, is to fulfill the Great Commission. To take the gospel to every creature in our city, in our state, in our country. To start churches, to send missionaries around the world. That's the reason for the existence of the local church. Yes, we have ministries and we have orphanage and we have music ministries and we have schools and all that is wonderful. But sometimes churches get lost in those ministries and forget that the main ministry is to get the gospel to the entire world. William Carey said, "We cannot, as men or Christians, ignore that the majority of our neighbors, who as we have an eternal soul and are ignorant and are lost." We cannot ignore that. We can't just go on in our busy lives ignoring that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And those who die without Christ will spend eternity in hell. Sometimes we live like atheists. If you really believed that there's a heaven, that there's a hell, that there's a Savior, we would be much more burdened. We would be much more faithful. We would be much more fervent and getting the gospel to those that are not saved. Hudson Taylor, great missionary there in China, He said, I never would have thought of going to China if I did not believe that the Chinese are lost and have need of Christ. It is said that the sun never rose in China without Hudson Taylor being on his knees, begging God for the salvation of the millions of souls in China. He would beg God early in his ministry in China, God, give me 1,000 evangelists. Give me 1,000 evangelists to take the gospel to all these villages that have never one time heard the name of Christ. By the end of his life, and through the China Inland Mission, over 1,300 missionaries from America and Australia and Canada and Britain had gone to China to preach the gospel. During the Boxer Rebellion, the China Inland Mission lost 300 missionaries. There was a rebellion. I don't have time to tell you the story, but there was a false news, talking about fake news, amen? But there was false news that European and American engineers were going to go and demolish the Great Wall of China. And that caused a rebellion. And they went out and they just saw strangers on the streets and they killed them. 300 China Inland missionaries were killed in that Boxer Rebellion. So leaders of the China Inland Mission and still Hudson Taylor was still alive. It was early in the 1900s, 1901, 1902, around there. He was still alive. And they sent representatives to Australia and Canada, the United States and Britain to plead to come and take the place of those missionaries who had died. And with a promise of no support and the prospects of perhaps also losing their lives. And in 1 year, 300 missionaries took their places. See, that was the spirit back then. I much doubt that would happen today. Unless my salary is paid and all comfort is promised me, then I'll decide if I go. That's the spirit today, honestly, generally speaking. We have a commandment. 28% of the world population is considered an unreached group. When they say unreached, it means that that's over 200 billion. I'm sorry, 200 million or 2 billion. When you say that it's unreached, it means that they have not one verse in their language of the Word of God. That means there's not one missionary, there's not one pastor or church reaching those people. 95% of preachers preach to their own people. Isn't that something? When there's such a great need. Move Paul to preach the gospel, a personal burden, a duty. As I was listening to that hymn, Rescue the Perishing, duty demands it. We have a commandment. We have a commission. But fourth of all, look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. What moved Paul to preach the gospel? What should move us to fulfill the Great Commission? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said in verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more, or that I might win the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, be not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul had a great desire to see people saved. He had a desire. He says, I become servant to all men, to the weak as weak. He had a desire that God would use him.
to win people to Jesus Christ. You know, please look with me in Romans chapter 9, please. When I think about this passage, I always come under conviction. But as the years of Paul's preaching the gospel, he filled so many areas with the gospel. Paul's desire to see people saved grew to this point. And I'm far from this, believe me, I know I am. But I cannot help but mention this to you. Romans chapter 9 and verse 1, Paul said, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Paul had to make a reference. Listen, what I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is my witness that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were his cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul has such a desire to see his kinship, his Jewish people saved. He said, Lord, I'd be willing to be accursed, be willing to be separated from you eternally. Because it is his desire was real, his desire was genuine. And oh, that God would work in all of our hearts to give us a burden that we may understand we have a duty to be obedient to his commandment, but that it becomes such a part of your life that you have a genuine desire and fervency to see people come to know Christ as their Savior. How about your neighbors? Have you witnessed to your neighbors? Have you witnessed to people you work with? How about your family? How about taking a New Testament and going to an area? Yes, we all get nervous. I get nervous. Yes, we have fear about knocking on a door and presenting the gospel. But oh, how we need a revival today. That God may, with the work of the Holy Spirit, may he break our cold heart, that we might develop a true desire to see people saved. I'm not all that I should be, and sometimes I lose my desire like anyone. I remember several years ago, on a Saturday morning, I said, oh God, today as I go to knock doors, Lord, please, I want to see you work. Lord, I want to see someone saved and life transformed by the power of God. And I was just praying in the morning that God would do something special in my soul winning that day. As I was knocking a new area, we started a new bus route and started knocking this area. I came to a door and a lady about 65, 67 years old, very, very small lady, came and she opened the door and I began to give her the gospel. I introduced myself and she said, come in. So I sat there and the table, it was a very, very small, very, very small apartment. And I gave her the gospel, Angelita. And after about half hour, 45 minutes, she prayed to receive Christ as her Savior. And I said, tomorrow morning I'm going to be here picking people up. Would you come to church with me tomorrow? She said, yes, I would. And she came to church the next day, and 2 weeks later she was baptized. And Angelita had been an alcoholic all of her life, and God changed her life. It was so beautiful. And all several months later, about a year later, we were going to church. I picked her up because I picked her up every week with other people that I picked up there on my bus route, and Angelita said, Pastor Ramos, I want you to know, and she was a very, very strong character person. Pastor Ramos, I want you to know, you saved my life. And I said, no, Angelita, I didn't save your life. Jesus saved you. No. I know that, but you saved my life. And she said, let me tell you the story, what happened that Saturday you knocked on my door. She said, the day before, he said, the year before you came to my door, my husband died. He said, I used to live on the streets. I was a prostitute living on the streets, alcoholic. This man picked me up and he gave me a family. And he died, and I was just devastated that he died. Then that Friday before you came to my home, the doctor told me that I had cancer. And I said, God, I don't want to suffer anymore. And I'm going to just finish it all. So she said, Saturday morning before you knocked on my door, I had a glass of wine. And I filled it with all the painkillers and all the medicine that I knew that would take my life. And she said, I left it there to take that glass that morning. But after you left, I went to that glass. And I said, well, I promised that pastor I would go to church tomorrow. And so she dropped the glass, poured the glass of the wine into the sink. Praise God that for 3.5 years she was so faithful in church, and she's in heaven now, Angelita. But see, whenever we have a genuine desire for God to use us, and all we do is present ourselves as instruments, that's all we are, God will do wonderful things. He'll do much more than you think possible. For the glory of his name. Two more truths, and I'll take just 5 more minutes, or maybe 10 or 20, I don't know. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. Verse 23. And Paul said the following, and this I do, he said, I become a servant of all, and this I do for the gospel's sake, or for the cause of the gospel. Number 5, what should move us to fulfill the Great Commission? Because of a cause. Because of the cause of Christ. Because of the cause of the gospel. And the cause demands obedience, demands our attention, demands that we have a strategy, demands that we invest, demands that we give our lives, demands that we're willing to pay the price, demands that we send missionaries. It demands for many Christians that, Lord, yes, your cause is a cause that I want to give my life to, and I want to surrender my life and all that I am to your cause. And if he doesn't call you to the mission field, but as a member of the church, as you lead your family and as you work or you have a small business or whatever you do, that the main cause of your life is the cause of Christ. Not making money. Not having a new car every year. Now, if you can do that, praise God. But that shouldn't be your cause. His cause ought to become your cause. And that's what moved Paul to preach the gospel. And that's what should move us to fulfill the Great Commission. And lastly, verse 24, please, and 25. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that he may obtain. But every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He sacrifices. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. At that time it was a wreath that they would give them for winning the game. But we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So I fight, not as that one that beateth the air. Paul said, I strive because I know that one day there will be an incorruptible crown. So what should move us, like what moved Paul? Crowns in heaven. And if you read the book of Revelation, the crowns that he, by his grace, because it's all because of his grace, for his glory, those crowns that he will have given us, we will always worship him and take those crowns and lay them at his feet because he is worthy. He's the only one that's worthy. But to know that we're investing in heaven, we're investing in the eternal. And as I mentioned the other day, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul said, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are you not even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy, crown of rejoicing." Yes, crowns in heaven. Because of the investment you made for the cause of Christ, because you prayed for the salvation of that one soul, because you gave an offering for that missionary to be able to go to the field of service, because you personally won a person to Christ, because you, as a faithful Sunday school teacher, prayed for your Sunday school and you led those children to Christ, yes, there will be crowns in heaven. Like Jim Elliot said, he is no fool that gives up that which he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose. Paul shares with us what moved him to preach the gospel, what should move us as Christians and as local churches to fulfill the Great Commission should be the same. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the example that you've given us in the life of the Apostle Paul. And Lord, may you work in our lives, in our hearts, Lord. To have the same burden and desire and that obedience. May you bring revival to our hearts in the matter of the cause of Christ here and around the world. Lord, may you be exalted. May you be honored. May you please move in this service tonight.